So this is May 27th, 2019. This is our fifth and final call in the Letting Go series. And for those of you in the United States, happy Memorial Day. We very rarely have a call on a Monday. And today we have a call on a holiday for some of you. So I know that we might have fewer people listening or here live today. For those of you listening to the recording, welcome. Hello. Always many ways to join us. So we're going to begin in Shavasana as we always do. Find a comfortable place to lie down. And if you don't have that place available, then you can do a seated meditation. And please be sure if you are driving that you pull over. You do not want to be meditating or doing lying down Shavasana as you're driving. So be in a safe place. Be in a comfortable place. Allow yourself to find spaciousness around you. So better to do on a hard surface like the floor and rather than a bed, otherwise we end up just falling asleep. It's a different state of being than either a couch potato watching TV or falling asleep. Shavasana is a very focused state of the mind, but a relaxed state of the body. So lying on your back to begin, take the flesh of the buttocks, move it toward the heels so that you have space through the low back. Extend one leg out and then the other, and release the legs to the floor. Dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Shoulder blades move strongly into the back. Then release both arms to the floor. Your arms are straight. They're in a low V position with respect to the body, about 30 degrees away from the body. Adjust the support beneath your head. So good to have a folded blanket or a pillow beneath the head, better a folded blanket so that the chin is slightly lower than the forehead. That allows the mind to become quiet. Make sure that the blanket touches the shoulders but does not go beneath them. Your Shavasana will go deeper, faster, very much from my direct experience. Some things I learned from my teachers, some things I know from doing it over and over for many, many years. If that blanket touches the shoulders but does not go beneath, you will drop into a quiet state and a focused state much more quickly and deeply in a sustained way. So the details matter. Paying attention to the details. And then once you have aligned those details, the arms equidistant from the center line of the body, legs equidistant from the center line of the body, chest open, head supported, neck supported. These are things that we have control over. These are things we can do. So finding that control where we have it, releasing the whole body to the earth. Softly close the eyes if you haven't already. Remove glasses, place them somewhere safe. If you're wearing them, glasses take us out into the world. And we want to go inward. Pratyahara in the yoga tradition, withdrawal of the senses. Allow the eyes to sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to quieten. Scan the body for any tension. Where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Watch the breath. Relax the tongue, relax the cheeks and jaw. Soften the eyes and feel how that shifts the breath. Without trying to change the breath, just watching it. As we release tension, the breath shifts. Just noticing without judgment. And then as thoughts arise, as thoughts will, it's the nature of thought. Gently, without judgment, let them go. It's so unimportant right now. It's not where you are. You're focused here with just the breath. Feel that the ears and eyes recede toward a point of the back brain. Again, pratyahara. Ears receding as though my voice were coming from a long ways away. Go inward. Watch the breath. What's the quality of the breath today? Watch the breath. In Shavasana, the mind remains one-pointed, focused only on the breath. Every time it wavers, you just bring it back. Not worried about any time that your mind was wandering. It's the nature of thought, being gentle with yourself and with the practice. Just coming back, coming back, coming back to the breath. And then allowing the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso, feel the breath. With each breath, ease. Bend the knees, slowly roll to your right side, support your head. When you open the eyes, let the gaze be soft, unfocused, just a few inches ahead of you on the floor. And keeping the gaze toward the floor, use the hands, slowly press yourself up to sitting, and return to our virtual circle. Always, when possible, camera on so that we continue to train that one-pointed attention. Whether I love it, I'm focused. Whether I hate it, I'm focused. Whether my mind is wandering, I return to focus. Whether my mind is focused that morning, I return to focus one thing, not multitasking. Training that, it's a practice. Welcome back, Yvonne, or welcome here into our circle. You're first. And as others are returning to the circle, I would love to hear from one or two of you. What did you love in the practice this morning? This is the Letting Go series. Maybe there were 99 things distracting you. There was one thing that's beautiful. When we train our focus there, the other things will fade away, like those thoughts when we're watching the breath, and our life becomes more and more an accumulation of those things that we love, because that's just what we're paying attention to. That's what grows. What did you love here? Who would like to begin? Yvonne, thank you.
Morning.
Good morning. And happy Memorial Day for those who, I said it earlier, but some of you weren't here yet. For those who are in the US, it's a holiday for you. Thank you for being here. Yvonne, so what'd you love?
It was my second Shavasana of today. And the funny thing was that, I've gone through a lot of changes recently myself, like physical changes. And
have you announced it here yet, by the way?
Maybe not. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I'm up to 28 now.
Tell them. Yeah, I'm 28.
I lost 28 pounds.
The side effects is we're working on our businesses in the empowering right here. Like, this is not a weight loss clinic, right?
Body. Two away from my goal weight, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, and two Shavasanas this morning. So beautiful to celebrate that. Yes.
Yeah, I've started a workout routine, and within that workout routine, I do a few yoga poses as well, and one of them is Shavasana. So
fantastic.
Yeah, so it's really nice. But it's also, it's more than that, because I just notice how, you know, like, yes, my physical body has changed, but I have changed too along the way. And so there was a part of me, like, for instance, recently, I was gifted a beautiful new yoga mat, but I hadn't used it yet because I have a different one that I use downstairs, and I don't, you know, haul it back and forth. So it was still sitting there, and I came on, and you had just started, and there would, you know, a previous me would have, oh, I have to unwrap the yoga mat. I have to, you know, I would have come up with all these excuses not to. And I was like, no, you have an opportunity to have a second Shavasana. So, so I grabbed the scissors and unwrapped my yoga mat, and off I went. So that felt really good. How my thinking has changed.
Yes. Yes. Really, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. How you do anything is how you do everything. And taking that energy, I'm just going to do this, and then moving that out into business, into our world. Fantastic. Love all those pieces that you loved here this morning, Yvonne. Beautiful. Let's hear one more. What did you love in this Shavasana practice this morning? Yeah, Mary Kay.
I love the part where you were silent.
And, yes.
And it was more, and it was like immediately I felt more balanced, and I felt it felt like a stronger connection with you.
Ah, beautiful. And you know, as we practice more as a community, often at the highest levels of yoga that I tend to, like when it's all teachers around and our teacher teaching the teachers, Shavasana is silent. And as we grow as a community and you have more and more pieces of what that Shavasana is, it allows me to give more silent spaces. And so I love that you loved that and found that connection in the quiet. Yes, there's so much power in silence. Love it. Thank you. All right. I'm going to leave it at that for this morning, because I have so many things that I want to do with you. For one thing, we have two reminder questions and eight other questions. So thank you for that last time. So exciting to see your questions. And just because we did it once on the call, please remember that practice. Please go ahead and do it again. All right. It's easy to post questions. Please keep doing it. So grateful that you posted. It's the very first time we've had that let's post questions on the call. And as I say, we received 10 of them, two of them being reminders of some content to cover, and then eight new questions. So really great. I want to spend a big bulk of the time today talking about or diving into the questions. Wins. I'd love to hear a couple of wins though first. Just a sentence or two, something that opened something that a win for you this week. Who would like to share? Marie.
I've been doing this practice of writing a haiku a day since early May. And I was part of a studio tour on Saturday where I had my books for sale, and I offered people the opportunity to have a haiku. So they could just come and talk to me, and then they would give me a theme and I wrote a haiku for them. And it was amazing.
Wow.
And I wasn't even, like, I wasn't charging money or anything. I was just putting myself out there. Because I love this haiku practice. It's beautiful. And people started giving me money.
Marie, I love this. Brilliant. Memorable. So you. Having fun with it. And I can't, you know, if you try to come up with a really important business strategy, because I'm going to have my own special business card, can't think of a better business card than that. For you, genius, beautiful. Talk about carving your own path, having fun with it. All the principles that we learn all through the year, you could find at least a dozen of them in that move. Fantastic, Marie. Thank you. Let's hear one more. Win, something rolling for you, Jasmine.
So yesterday I watched the recording of the first part of the high ticket virtual summit, and wow, specifically specifically though, in the beginning when you said that you'd be walking away with a specific person that you could call, I literally drew the concentric circles of the comfort zone, growth zone, danger zone, and I was like teetering on danger zone, like when you did that. But by the end of just the first part, and you didn't even do any specific talking about it, I have a very clear idea of someone who I can offer this to. And I was just realizing in college that I actually mentored and sort of coached this person in exchange for a meal swipe, like in exchange for lunch. And so thinking about now what I'm worth and like charging for that is just with my mind. So that was a huge win for me yesterday.
Freaking awesome, Jasmine. And I love that basically the answer to your question and Anne's question is in that, right? In the first part of the Idea Virtual Retreat, not even getting to the other parts of it. I love that. We'll dive in some more, but so many of the answers to the questions you're asking are somewhere in our year, but it's like, where do I access that? Or, you know, so if you lean in with somebody else in the community, they have an answer and also ask the question, and we'll dive in deeper. I love that. From the very first part of the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, I already have somebody to talk to. You haven't even got to the part where I tell you what you ought to do that. Fantastic. I love it. Grace, is that a hand up?
Yes. Because I think it's a win. One of the European coaches that I've been working with, she really wants to be known for ITC, Immunity to Change. And in working with her, I got to the point where all of a sudden I became the object of her immune system. And I knew I couldn't coach her anymore because of that. Well, one of the breakthroughs that I had last week is their group is writing stories to publish a book. Each one has a chapter. And I'd reviewed her, Charlotte is her name, I could share it, Charlotte's writing, which was great a while back. And then I just got a revision last week, and she's completely revamped it, because I said, why don't you add in some of your personal stories? And it was all about her own journey through the Immunity to Change process. It was very personal. And what I did is I took what I'd learned on last Thursday from you, and I created, because I have to do this for the next group, I created, based on your pieces, a testimonial form. But I used that with her saying, how about if you consider these questions? What was your behavior like in the beginning? I mean, I went through and I had structured that for her. And her response email to me was like, she was blown out of the water with it. So now I have something I'm going to formalize for the next ITC group as we end in June. I'll have this formalized testimonial form.
Freaking awesome, Grace, from one piece of something that we did last week in it, you know, we didn't spend long on it, 5 or 10 minutes, complete revolution. And also all the revolutions in all the evolution in how you're connecting with that person and noticing what's going on. So all the inner story pieces, and then a whole up leveling in your client and in the chapter that's being received, all that. So great. Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you, Grace. All right. I would like to spend the whole day hearing your wins. Really freaking awesome. So much on the agenda today, but thank you so much. And remember to share your wins. In fact, let's have a win thread. Who would like to start a win thread? Cause I can just feel the energy, you know, in the group this morning. A win thread on the Facebook forum is like, hey, I got a win to share. Anybody else? It could be one sentence. I woke up happy this morning. I enjoyed my cup of coffee this morning. You know, Yvonne, thank you so much. Because what we focus on expands. If you have 100 wins like that in the day, and the next time you call somebody, there's an energetic around it. So much of business is confidence. So much of business is stepping into the thing that we're afraid to step into. We'll talk more about that in the next call, right? New series. And then just stepping in. And that comes from understanding and harnessing that empowering story for yourself. And we do that in multiple ways throughout the year. So fantastic work. Thank you for those amazing wins. Thank you, everybody. Really, really beautiful. And thanks, Yvonne, for posting. All right. A couple of announcements. So just a reminder about practical applications. So most of you are already affiliates. So thank you for that. If you're not, obviously go and reach out to Amy. Say, I'd like to be an affiliate for Practical Applications. It's happening now. It's almost all of you already. So if you haven't done that yet, go ahead and do that. And then what I want you to notice is, again, that same theme of how you do anything is how you do everything. Sometimes, actually, what am I going to say, often? Most of the time, very often, it's easier to offer something for somebody else first than for oneself. So if you are struggling in any way, challenged by making offers to anybody, a great way to practice is try to think, well, who is it that you want to bring to that call on June 5th? Who is it that, and haven't, maybe that's the person you're going to want to bring to Story Freedom. Maybe they're on your list. So it's a nice and safe way to practice that same thing that Jasmine was talking about. Like, who do I know who? What's the person, right? And so don't ask yourself the question, do I know anyone who could be a client for me? Do I know anybody who could, that's a habit of thought, who could might want to come to this call? Who do you know who? Way more powerful question. Judy was asking about empowering questions. So who do you know who you'd like to bring on board? And we have, with Practical Applications, we've never ever done this before, those kinds of affiliate rewards. We've not even come close ever, ever, ever. I don't know we're going to do this again. We might. But you can start looking for that. Who do you know who? And then where do you turn to? Let me see. Maybe I'll do a speaking engagement. Maybe I'm going to be networking. Maybe I will do a swap and speak to somebody's group and they can speak to mine. And maybe I'm just going to reach out to a friend. Maybe I'll contact my list. All those same ways that you would find that person for June 5th, go ahead and rinse and repeat then for your own company. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you've got this opportunity. It's happening right now. It's right on the court. And Cheryl, it's connected with your questions. Like, what do I do? Oh, I answered my own question. We'll get to that in more detail. But you know, what do I do? Oh, I got to take a step. It's that we're in the perfect opportunity to take a step. There's an engagement of energy around action like we have in high ticket virtual retreat season. We have that right here and right now with that call on June 5th. So for one thing, make sure that you're we will be on that call before we meet again as a community. So we have the first call in the Loving Kindness series next Thursday. Next Wednesday is in-house, what we're calling the Practical Applications Preview Call. It's three keys to finding effective words. I can't even remember. I don't even have it in front of me. Three keys to finding words that create influence. I think that was something like that we called it. And so make sure that you register for that call. We won't be here. We will be on a different Zoom link, so you need to register. So go find the link in your own inbox, make sure you're registered. And then if you're an affiliate, you have all the information you need to send that out to others as well. So that's it about practical applications that I can think of. Testimonials. So, and you can model the whole thing. I mean, Grace's win about testimonials. The reason that I gave that training is we've reached out to a number of you. Do you want to share your story? And that's a fantastic opportunity. If we didn't reach out to you, go ahead and reach out to us. Those that we reached out to, I know that we've been talking in some way, shape, or form, and that I know that you've already shared some stories. And if you forget what they are, reach out to us and ask me. So Grace, you asked a question about those testimonials. You've already been rocking it with your own clients using that model for testimonials. And one of the best things to do, I mean, I train people. I've trained people to give testimonials for a 1,000-person audience on other people's stages and 500-person audiences and so on, right? People have come to me in multiple ways to get that training. So this is a great chance. Reach out to me if you need some help with your testimonial and how do you tell that story? Because sometimes it takes a while. I was training somebody to be on somebody else's stage. It took me about 40 minutes to pull it out of her. And it was amazing, an amazing story, but she hadn't even realized it had happened until I pulled it out of her. It's like Jasmine talking about pulling out, Michelle pulled it out of me, right? So get in touch with me, get in touch with each other, be on connection calls. It's like, what's the story that I want to tell? Because again, what we focus on expands. So what are the wins that you have had? And when you do it yourself, you'll know how to do it with your own clients as well. So that's happening this week. I think it's Wednesday, Thursday that Kate's interviewing people. So make sure you get on her calendar. It's really, really generous and amazing that she's doing this for this company. And so I would not miss that opportunity. If we haven't reached out to you, reach out to us. if you want some advice on, you know, you can send me a note about it. I think I want to talk about this, Michelle. What do you think? Right? That would be a great thing to do. If it's an email, I probably won't see it. Send me a text and tell me that you emailed me. So use this time. There's just a few days left to really up your game in and around testimonials. And also, of course, would we appreciate it as a company? Absolutely. It helps us serve people. And who do we want to serve first? We don't spend a pile of money on Facebook ads. In fact, I've never done Facebook ads. That's far away. As we learn practical applications, start close in, then go to far away. A lot of people start with their website and the Facebook ads. Company's been growing exponentially. We've never even done it. We've boosted a few posts before. That's it. We spent a couple of dollars here and there, but never a Facebook ad. So, you know, start close in. I recommend that you do that as well. Who are your ideal clients? Well, the ones that you're working with, that you love to work with, that's you guys. And they know somebody who's probably also your ideal client because they're really cool people. Cool people know cool people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So instead of spending thousands of dollars on Facebook ads, I know people who spend $10,000 a month on Facebook ads and have for months and so on. I would rather spend that money on you. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, do you have somebody? I'll give you $2,000 for, you know, if there's somebody that I can help further. So I would model this, start close in, go to far away later, and ask me if you're not sure where you are. Should you be only working close in or some far further away things, and ask me those questions. So practical applications, testimonials, any questions about those things? Because our next call is already a done deal. Yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead.
Well, are we supposed to prepare something in advance for the testimony or just answer questions?
I would. I certainly would. Okay. And actually, did we send out, Yvonne, will you send me and Amy a note that please, would you do that for me to say, can we send questions out to you? But I don't even know what she's going to ask you. I haven't worked that out. I trust her. She's amazing. But you know that the questions that she's going to be pulling out from you will have be some, they have to be some version of what was it like before? What's it like now? What's the difference? Can you show the gap? And how do you think that happened? And then, you know, what do you expect from here? So you already know what that's going to be, and dive into that in specific ways as way as possible. I've prepared, it's not that I rehearse a speech, but I've been on multiple stages giving testimonials in many, many forms to my teachers. And I spend time thinking about what's the most important thing that I want to say. What's the thing that I want to get across? What's the order that I want to say things at? And I, you know, maybe I'll say it out loud once. I'll write it out, certainly. So I would certainly do those things here. It's a great practice because then you'll be doing it with your people. Does that help, Mary Kay? Okay, awesome. Any other questions with this? Because once we move on, we're, you know, next time we meet, these will be behind us. Okay, perfect. So just want to spend a couple of minutes reminding you where we've been, a bit of a brief consolidation around letting go. The Allow series, there are five key components to really creating that strong inner world story. We do some outer world pieces all the way along in our Allow series, but these are the things that I know that actually move the needle to create that empowering story. I would change them if I thought that there was something new and better, and Marie will attest that these are the same principles that I started teaching 9 years ago, 8 years ago, right? It has not changed. I've learned more things about them and gone deeper. It's not something new and different. It's deeper into these things because they're the things that move the needle and create change, create the lives and the companies that we want. So just a brief review of where we've been. The Letting Go series, we begin with Raga and Devesha. Those are the first two calls. Clinging, like grabbing onto stuff, pushing stuff away. Most people, most of the time, are living in that in very subtle ways, moment to moment, and in big ways. I'm not going to talk to that person. I have to know this. If I don't know this, everything's going to fall apart. If I don't know enough, I'm pushing away the idea of, I'm pushing away if I'm going, I don't know enough to be able to reach out to that person. So there's something that I'm pushing away some aspect of, there's pushing and pulling in big ways and subtle ways. The first call we spent on, one of the key things to remember is the Zacks. And what do you remember about the Zacks? from Dr. Seuss. It's not the key thing to remember, but to help you remember the essence of that call. What do you remember about the Zacks, Dr. Seuss? I remember Mary Kay going like, I don't like Dr. Seuss. I got to get over that if I'm going to learn something from this. Right, Marie, go ahead.
They refused to change or budge, and everything changed around them.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hang on to this same way, this thing, this way. You know, and everything changed. The world group, they did. They just got buried over by the road. And so, can I let go? Raga, attachment is different from, sometimes we cling to people around us. We think it's love. It's not. It's a hanging on. Can I notice places and it'll appear in your body? If your body's tight, you're hanging on to something. What are you hanging on to? What are you tolerating? Can you let it go? And can we let it go? I'm not above any of this. I want to keep learning it. Ask my daughter, am I above this? No way. I'm learning. It's getting better. Devasia, Sutra 2.8. So in the second part of the second chapter of the Yoga Sutras, the 8th sutra. And does anybody pay that much attention to the calls? Because sometimes the training goes by and it's like 10 minutes, but it's actually interwoven through the whole of the call. Do you remember what that sutra was talking about? The yogi is just telling us why we suffer and how we break free from that. And we need that if our companies are going to break free. Sutra 2.8, who remembers it? There's more in those calls than we might recall. And if you ask me a month from now, it's like, which one is 2.8? I might not remember, right? Because I don't remember them by number always. All right. So what Iyengar's translation, do you remember this piece? Unhappiness leads to hatred. Hatred is a form of aversion. So can we unplug that? Because aversion at some place in our company, it happens all the time. Like Yvonne's aversion, she gave us an example just this morning, her aversion to unrolling a mat is happening moment by moment by moment. My coffee went cold. I don't like it. I didn't have enough time to pour this into a different cup. And so my glass is, you know, stained on this side in ways I'd like it to be prettier. You know what I'm saying? I had that moment earlier that, like, should I pour that in? So, no, I got to go and get to teaching. Moment by moment by moment, we're pushing stuff away. And then we do it in a strategy session. We don't like what that person said. Something triggers inside us. We can't hold space. We're on a stage. Like when many of you know the story, I was on the stage and in front of about 500 people. And the very first question that I was asked was on a success panel. My teacher said, Michelle, when you did such and such, tell us about that thing, because that's really great. And she made a mistake and she was actually talking about somebody else. Talk about a moment. Yeah, exactly, Jasmine. You haven't heard that story yet. Moment by moment, there's 500 people in that audience, 400 or 500 people. What do I do in that moment? And if I haven't practiced outside of that moment, that could have gone very differently, because that's happening all the time on the court. So speaking engagement, lots at stake. I could make my teacher look bad. I could make me look bad. What am I going to do? Can you hear all the aversion in that? Not an empowering question. One of the people in the audience who's attuned to energy said, Michelle, you left your body, but you came right back. That's how she described it. That's how it felt afterwards. Take a breath. There's nothing wrong with this moment. I can find my way through, which I did. So many people coming up afterwards. That was so inspiring. Didn't have to be either or. Yeah, Marie, go ahead.
This taps into an experience I had this weekend where I went to a presentation or a talk by somebody who's quite well known, like, yeah, famous, I would say.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the talk and realizing I didn't really like the content. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking for what was strong in the presentation rather than staying on what I didn't like. And it's like, so now I'm living my life like the manuscript review process, which is all part of your teaching, right? Like, mm-hmm. Not staying in the aversion, but looking for what's strong or beautiful. And it was just, it led to all kinds of inquiry. It was amazing.
Fantastic. I love it. Perfect example. And so changes the quality of our energy, changes the quality of how we walk into the room, changes the quality of whether we think that we can talk to that person, they'll say yes or not, changes how we think of what aversion. They said, no, I don't want to do this anymore. 10 people said no. In strategy sessions, one of my friends, she had 39 no's, I think, before she had a yes. She built a very strong and solid company. Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen had over 100 no's. It's like Chicken Soup for the Soul. That's a stupid title. That'll never sell. And then they had to invest $100,000 of their own money to a small publisher that usually published flyers or something like that. And they promised they'd buy all the books, and that's the only way they could do it. So aversion could have easily, you know, DeVege, taken them out at any point along the way. I don't like this. How come people aren't seeing it? Blah, 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 all that. And I say blah, 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 but I get caught in it too. And then changing that, watching it happen like Marie did, beautiful Marie, moment by moment, changing the experience of the talk. Maybe there's one gem that Marie needed to learn, not needed to, but could really use from that talk to create something different. Needed is like, I need it, hanging on to it. Otherwise, if I don't learn something from this talk, everything's going to go wrong. Same thing, body's all tight, right? So Raga Devesha. And I gave the example that second call of a Bohemian Rhapsody, because you know that I watched that show over and over again. I've become such a fan of, I was always a fan of Queen, but I'm so fascinated because they created they created so many, you know, the largest paying audience in history. So they broke so many records with their music. Every one of the four musicians wrote a number one song. They had so, you know, so much talent and so much that they accomplished. And in the movie representation of it, which, you know, has its threads in truth, in what actually happened, in the movie version, they needed to get over themselves and they needed to get over their aversion to each other. Do you remember that moment if you saw the movie? So that they could go and do this concert. They didn't get over that. The concert doesn't even happen. And they're fictional, by the way, but their fictional manager, but it was based on real things that happened. Their fictional manager who says, yeah, that song, that's stupid. There's never been anything like it. Can't do that. Marie, you know, you easily said, Marie, what do you mean giving out haikus? Nobody's ever done that. You can't do that. Aversion. Unhappiness leads to hatred. Second call, letting go, deeper versions than what we can Google out there. The third call, listening. Well, if unhappiness leads to hatred and leads to all these forms of suffering, and I don't know how to grow a business that way, right? And again, this is right embedded in story. I'm not always I'm not always reminding you of those story analogies, but Luke Skywalker, he's so averse to going out there and doing anything. And he's attached to staying at home on the farm because he's playing, he's not sitting in the driver's seat of his own story, and the adventure doesn't even begin until it does. But he's caught both in Raga and Devesha. He's pushing away his mission. He's hanging on to being on the farm, which is somebody else's story anyway, until something kicks him out of that. It's right rooted in our stories. So then if unhappy, and also he's unhappy, you can see it in that, I can't do that. I got to stay on the farm. Feels horrible. Leads to hatred, leads to pushing away in all kinds of ways. So, self-care, third call, self-care. If unhappiness leads to hatred, well, we got to take care of ourselves. And I'm just going to mention very briefly something that happened that you mentioned at the end of the call. Do you remember Aaron's two trees? The one big tree and then the little tree, and the tree didn't have the roots and it just fell over. And what are we teaching our little ones? Do you remember that? If we're not taking care, it was right in the winds, right at the end. So, or right in the aha. So my teacher, Andrea J. Lee, says, yeah, our companies are like this. This is what we do in the world. And then the roots, that's the self-care. Our tree's going to blow over and it's got to be proportionate. The more we're doing, the deeper the level of self-care. I did a lot taking care of my daughter this weekend. I can tell it's time for me for self-care really soon. And I do it all the time. Now I've gone for walks and I take massages and I do yoga and I do all that. I have long hot baths and I do a lot of self-care. And I can even tell there's another layer that's required this week because I've got a lot going on, right? Cindy talked about her car accident. Thank you, Cindy. I'm going to remind everyone of that too. Remember I said I worked with people on the cancer journey, and Cindy goes, yeah, it was like when I had my accident, and thank you for being so vulnerable to share that, Cindy. Some part of me was relieved because I could finally slow down or whatever it was. Finally, how about we not wait till then? And remember the piece about Richard Branson spends like 80% of his time what, resting and thinking, modeling the people who are uber successful. And then as Sandra Yancey saying, the billionaires spend 30% of their time researching and thinking. Researching and learning, 30%, like a day and a half. A lot of people spend a day on Facebook. Instead, they spend a day and a half thinking and researching and learning. We won't do that if we haven't taken care of ourselves first. Well, instead, we'll just collapse, right? Who understands what I just said at an even, maybe even a deep level? Jasmine, this is related to your work, right? So I know you know. So self-care. When we do that, we have the possibility to listen. And letting go requires, listening requires a deep level of letting go. We discussed that just a couple of days ago. We can do all these external markers of listening. And I met with a friend the other day who was really into NLP and neuroscience and communication. And so she was telling me, I almost don't even want to tell you what she told me. But it was about like whether you tilt your head and which eye you're looking with. And maybe some of you know these things, right? And that there are, these are markers of then people are being passive or dominant or not dominant. And once she told me, I was like, it was hard for me to listen for a while because I was going, is my head tilted? Am I looking with this eye? Am I looking with that eye? So all these external markers, I'm not saying it's not true. Yes, somebody listening in maybe is listening more. Yes, if they're focused on their breath and paying attention to that. Yes, maybe they're listening more. If they are, if we are repeating back and mirroring what the person said, but you can do all of those external markers. And how many of you have been there? I'm going to ask this again, where either you or somebody you know is doing most of those markers and you freaking know that they're not listening or you aren't. You know it. These external markers arise because of what's happening inside. So then they can be mimicked by somebody who's trying to mimic. This is so important. Mimic listening, but it's not actually happening. You guys know if you've been around long enough, I break all those rules. But you also, most of you have said to me, many of you have said to me at one time or another, one of the reasons Jasmine gave us a version of that last week, right? Michelle pulled it out of me that came from the listening. But I've broken all the rules. Like when I talked to Pamela and Cindy once, I said, okay, I'm planning to just listen to you guys. Oh, wait, I'm not going to let you talk at all. And I just spoke nonstop for an hour and a half. But at the end of that, do you remember, Cindy? I asked you, did I get it bang on? And she was nodding like this because I'd been listening all along. I will interrupt you. I'm not looking in your eyes right now. If I were, I'd be looking at this camera, but I'm actually looking at your eyes. I don't care what it looks like. You might think I'm listening to you better if I looked here and smiled. You know, people smile, people mirror, you know. Can we really listen to what's underneath? And we can only do that when we do all the other pieces of the Letting Go series. And they're practiced. Don't try to get it perfect as we practice them. And the listening is everything. The last chapter of my PhD dissertation, because I really wanted to understand it, the last chapter, which kind of summarizes everything that I was studying and trying to understand for years, is called Listening Differently. Because I wanted to know how we as human beings actually hear one another, because I think that brings peace on the planet. I think that brings prosperity. I think I know that brings connection and love and the best life on this planet. And it also, as a spin-off effect, happens to grow our businesses. It's a spin-off effect of how we're living. Make sense? If you heard me, raise your hand. And you say, well, like, what am I doing when I'm asking you to raise your hand, by the way? Yeah, Cindy.
Keeping us engaged and making sure that your message is landing.
Yeah, right. So then that's my way, because I've got a lot of content I want to go over really quickly because there's other things I want to do and I want to get to your questions. So I'm listening to you. If no hands go up or only half the hands go up or they go up kind of tentatively or all of a sudden people look sad, I'm going to take a different course in the next things that I say. So listening, that didn't have any of those markers. Not really. I wasn't leaning in. I wasn't letting you talk. I wasn't right. But I'm listening. The best that I know how to do. Okay. Let me see. So I would love to hear, that's where we've been so far in the Letting Go series. That can't do it all, by the way. So if you miss those calls, go back to them because it's experiential. If it's just head knowledge, I would give you all handouts and, you know, never see you, but it wouldn't be fun for me and nothing would happen, right? It's experiential. You've heard before, you should listen to folks, but it's experiential in the doing of it so that it actually makes a shift in our company and our lives. I want to hear one aha. What did you, this is a review, but we've not pulled all those things together before. That's a new place. And I've never done, I don't think I've ever summarized in that way before. We're in a new place in this community. These words have never been said. That's the best I've ever articulated that. So, one aha from one of you, immediately applicable to your own company, something you heard, because again, you might be Yvonne, who's been here for 4 years. She's heard this many times in different forms. But what did you hear today? Jasmine's like, wow, you haven't heard this before. Maybe. I don't know if you've been listening to the Letting Go series. Yeah, Grace, what's your aha?
You know, unhappiness leads to hatred. Unhappiness leads to hatred. And I loved, Marie, your story where you just sort of flipped it, right? The ability to say, wait a minute, what am I feeling unhappy about and what's good in this and in the moment? And I think that makes all the difference to bring that positive energy back in.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for pointing to Marie's example. So, so powerful. And then that points right back for me to that example of being on stage. These things happen in a second. And my relationship to that audience, I had just that moment. If I hadn't been practicing it already, then what? It happens in a strategy session. It happens like how one of our members came. Her words to me were, Michelle, I know I'm going to work with you. Some of you have heard this before. I love this example. She joined at an event. I know I'm going to work with you. Not yet. How do I react in that moment? If I'm reacting with aversion, what do you mean? But I can see it right on you. And of course, you're supposed to work with me right now. Blah, 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 and all that's going on. She would not have come to our community, but she really wanted to. And I could see it. And in that moment, all these things that we've been talking about were being practiced by me unconsciously because it becomes part of who you are. It's just right in the cells. She said, I'm going to work with you, but not yet. And the words that came to me, this is where powerful words come from. I just said, I'm not so sure. I want to work with you, but not yet. It's not my time. I'm not so sure. There was no raga, no attachment to that. You don't have to come with us if you don't want. There's no devasia. What do you mean by that? And it comes with very simple words, and it changed the course of her life. Allow her the possibility to step in. So all this stuff is imminently practical. Not always talking about all the applications, but every one of these pieces we need for business. All right. So let's hear one more aha real quick. Would you gather from that consolidation real quick? Something for you, for your company. Where do you want to apply that? What do you want to do? Or what did you hear differently? Or what did you hear deeper that you already knew, but you know something at a deeper level now, Yvonne?
Well, it's kind of in what you just were talking about, but the words just really stood out for me. And I think I just want to verbalize it, that instead of thinking what's wrong here, thinking what's strong here.
Yes. I love how you put it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was really one of those things. It's like, it's so simple, but it's so easy for me to go to the negative than to listen for what's strong.
Mm. And you know that I'm a real fan of the Esther and Jerry Hicks, right? Abraham Hicks materials. And their essential teaching, basically they had to boil it down to one thing. One of the ways you could articulate it is like, well, what's stopping you is just that thing that you do, and stop doing that thing that you do, everything comes your way. That's basically all they teach. For 35 years, that's all they've been teaching. And countless successes over in that community from that one single teaching. And they don't really teach anything else other than that. It's just all variations of that. All right. Okay. So raga, devasia, pushing and pulling, unplugging all that. Unhappiness leads to hatred. So we take care of ourselves. Then we're able to listen to that other human being. And let me see. I have about... I'm just pausing for a moment here. So I have just a couple of training pieces, and then I want to get to your questions. And the training pieces are short. Okay, I want to do them in this order. I told you that there was some new content around letting go that I've learned in the last few months. I knew it, but I know it at a deeper level. And I wanted to give you just a couple of minutes of places where I have learned that, you know, these are the places where did I put my notes? I mean, I know them, but hang on. Oh, they're here. Okay. And they're scrawled out on a piece of paper because I was like, oh, I got to teach this. Oh, yes. I know this at a deeper level. And I've never put it together in this way before. But this is what's been, you know, again, we had our best year ever last year. And the company's been growing exponentially. What is causing that? So that I can share that with you. And from letting go, these are some of the things that I have been bumping into or learning new levels of. This changed everything. Five places of letting go. So I want to just list them for you, do a bit of describing, and then I'm not going to do a deep dive teaching on this. Go and investigate in your own lives, talk to each other. I could train a whole day on this. I could do a weekend on this and sell this as a 3-day event. I'm not going to, I'm doing the 5-minute version, but there's gold here, I promise. Gold for myself and my company, I know, and then I want to share it hot off the press with you. So, number one, letting go of old fixed ideas, and they're hidden in places we don't know. Number two, letting go of the need for security. Sorry, guys. Letting go of the need for security. This is just what's been happening in my personal life and my company. Number three, letting go of getting it right. You can go Google some of these, but I want to talk about why these together are so powerful very briefly. Number four, letting go of things, objects, physical things in my environment don't serve me. And number five, and this will be a surprise for some of you, especially if you've been around for quite a while, letting go of my uniqueness. That's the opposite of what I teach you in the Having a Big Why series, my own path. It's a direct opposite teaching, but stories are filled with paradox. Good stories have paradox. Two things can be true at once. I love my daughter. Sometimes I just hate her and I love her. Both are true. And when we want to get to a complex level instead of surface, right? Like not the surface, hi, I'm listening to you, but something deeper, right? There's paradox sometimes. So number one, old fixed ideas. So it might be the idea that I need to do it all alone. It might be the idea that I've got to keep doing what I'm doing because that's what's worked. It's like one of the Sandra's deep teachings. What got me to this level is not what was going to get, what got you here is not what's going to get you to the next level. I worked with a teacher for many years. And one of the things she was teaching me at the end is just keep doing what you're doing, Michelle. Her answer was always just keep doing what you're doing. And I love her. And I've learned so much from her. And also it was time for a different teacher because I just knew that there had to be something different, that there was a change. And, you know, again, another huge leap for the company. Wasn't anything wrong with that teaching? Yes, go with what works sometimes. But you got to be willing to make the changes, right? New ideas to get to the next level. So I might have preconceived notions about even what I'm supposed to be focused on. Where my energy is supposed to go. So many areas, old fixed ideas. Yvonne's, it might be a fixed idea that, well, you know, that's causing that dysphagia. Well, if I have to roll out the mat, maybe there's like, I always have to do it and I'm tired or whatever it is. It's probably a whole host of old fixed ideas that were in there. And then causing that dysphagia. So getting rid of, letting go of old fixed ideas. One of my friends was talking to somebody, she passed this conversation maybe about like he's working on his billionaire mindset because he's already made multi-millions. And what are the and that's the place that he's working, the ideas, what's happening inside me. It's new at a nuanced level. All right. Number two, the need for security. Risk taking, basically, all right. So things that have helped me get the company to this state, and I'm so happy, and it was not always like this, right? I have tithed, and if you wanted to, do I do that consistently? I'm going to be honest with you. No, I don't. Do I aim to do that? Yes, but do I do it consistently? No, but tithing, four spiritual laws of prosperity, Edwin Gaines talks about it. 10% goes to some, 10% of everything always goes to, you know, something that, you know, uplifts you. It's a great practice. Have I always, all the time done it? No. Has it brought me great things when I have the courage to do it? Yes. Have I done it a lot? Yes. Have I always done it? No. But I've done it for a long time. And one time I didn't even know where the food was going to come from. I didn't have money for the essentials, but I sat with my daughter and I had some money sitting there. I had $1,000. No, I think I had $1,000 I could put on my Visa and space on the Visa. And we sent it away to a cause. It was going to triple the money and it was going to go to a good place. And it was an amazing cause. And I talked to my daughter about it and got her okay with it, not forcing her, like, wow, do you think this is good? I really actually genuinely listened to my much younger daughter at the time. She pressed the button and then we jumped up and down, hugged each other, danced. I have put, I have invested in things and I didn't know. I'm just being really honest with you, right? I've invested in things and I've, you know, put them on my Visa when there was nothing to back it. I'm not saying that's always the right strategy, but I've done those things. I'm like, the next bill that comes through, I'm not sure if that Visa is going to bounce or not. I've done these things, right? I'm not saying always do those things, but I'm saying everyone around me that I know who's built a company that's strong has taken risks, financial ones, personal ones, that you can't, you can't play on defense always. Doesn't mean that you just jump off, you know, everybody's going and then you jump off right along off the cliff with them. I'm not saying that. You all know this because you leapt in here, but it's a practice. It can't just be done once. Last time I leapt into something that I found quite scary was probably really scary Thursday. You know, how old is your leaping story? That's why, again, we want to listen to Jasmine. So number one, old fixed ideas. I got to go faster because there's so much I want to get to your questions. Number one, old fixed ideas. Number two, the need for security. Number three, having to get it right. And I found that with my daughter just the other day because it's like, I know I'm right. And I wanted to pull up the evidence and show her. And I had to think about this, like, what is that going to do? But that comes from raga, right? Attachment. I don't need to get it right. And the most successful entrepreneurs I know have all made countless mistakes. I've watched Oprah when she said, you know, who's made the most mistakes in this room? And she goes like, it's me. Letting go of the need to get it right. I got to fail quickly. How can you fail faster? I've failed countless times. It hasn't always been pretty. And I'm learning this too. I don't like that either. But I know it's part of what happens. It's part of what I got to do. Looking for my next place where I could, you know, win big, fail big. If I fail, I'm going to learn something so much more. And I have this accumulation of failures where I've learned all these things. And I'm not looking for the failure. I'm not trying to fail. But I've then learned so much more than the person beside me. I don't even believe in a competitive world, but you get what I'm saying? Yeah, you got it. Things in your environment. My friend Sarah, she teaches people about productivity and is just an expert, her PhDs in the field. She's helped me. She's the first person I call when my man died. I just wanted to understand how I even get my life together and what I do in this moment. And really good at what she does. And I was just talking to her last week and she was reminding me of one core piece from her training. 80% of your productivity, 80% of what you do has to do with your environment. That's from her core teaching. I don't know where she gets that stat. She would know, right? So how have you set up your environment? A couple of years ago, I've moved a couple of times. I've let go of two houses, two living places in the last couple of years after living in the same place for almost 25 years. I got rid of probably 80% of what I own. I helped my daughter over the weekend get rid of at least 50% of her clothes. And a couple months ago, I helped her get rid of at least a third of this. Maybe at least a tenth or 10% or 20% of what she owns, just getting rid of a bunch of stuff, boxes of it out the door. And one person from a mastermind that I was in, I was having a conversation with him one day and it landed in me so much. He said, I think of every piece of paper in my house as costing me $10,000. When he said that, it's like, oh, deeper letting go. because everything takes energy. So, and have I done this perfectly? No, I'm telling you what's on the cutting edge. I will not tell you that I'm practicing these things perfectly, but they're on my cutting edge. I have a box because when my man died, there were papers strewn across the room. I was having some calls. I needed to teach. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I put all those papers in a box because I couldn't bear to get rid of them right away. And they're still sitting in a box. I haven't done this perfectly, but I know they're taking my energy. Letting go of things in my environment to make a space. My daughter was so happy last night. We bought her some new clothes, which we haven't done. You know, I went out shopping with her. We had a great time. We had a fabulous weekend, intensive and for my daughter, but beautiful. Things in my environment. And then number five, my uniqueness. My uniqueness. Now that sounds strange because I say you got to choose your own path like Marie. What about that haiku stuff? But I have been reading this book called The Inevitable. I highly recommend it. It's amazing about where the whole world is going with technology, and that affects every one of our businesses. Highly recommend this book. Is it the first thing for you to do? I don't know. Ask me a question. I'll let you know, right? What I think, and then you can do whatever you think is best. But my uniqueness, the world is more and more breaking up into little components, like components of songs that can be remixed. There's so much information out there. And this is actually even an old idea. Some really cutting edge YouTubers are talking about the remix strategy. You know, they've reached 1 billion people, and they talk about remixing. Choose an idea from this field and bring it over here, which is actually what Marie did. She remixed, right? She brought haikus and brought it over here to a reading. She didn't invent haikus, right? She wasn't the inventor. She remixed. So she didn't have to come up with her own form of poetry. She borrowed a style from somewhere else and used it in this place. It was a perfect example, actually, of remixing. Letting go of needing to be the only and the first, instead remixing what's out there. Yeah. And, okay. Oh yeah. And I saw your comment, Erin. I'll leave that to others. I don't always see the chat, but I saw it was flashing at me. All right. Yeah. Do I have clothes hanging in my closet? And I'm like, well, hang on to that. What's it doing to me energetically? Because I spent $300 on that outfit. So I'll hold on to that. And that's like the ideas that was it Grace mentioning, but I invested all this with these ideas with mentors that I've had. So I've got to go do that. All ways of holding on. So letting go of ideas, letting go of old fixed ideas and go of the, anyway, you got it. All right. One thing that you learned from this piece, one thing that you learned that landed in you, that landed in your bones. Is there anything that really you just heard? And then trusting yourself, letting go of that you don't have the right answer or the most profound thing or that there's somebody else. Thank you, Marie. Go.
I love the shift from trying to get it right or perfect to asking myself, how can I feel faster?
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. I've never said that in this community. I've never used those words before. We've got similar ideas before, but yeah, I want to go get it done. See what happened. Go do the next thing. Beautiful. Okay. All right. I had one more piece that I keep postponing, but I'm going to postpone it again in favor of the questions because we've got a lot of beautiful questions because I asked you to ask questions. You asked some great questions. I want to honor that. Spend a whole chunk of time on the questions. And that's about the piece that I want to give you, and I will talk about it next time, is it's from James Pennebaker, Writing to Heal, A Guided Journal for Recovering from Trauma and Emotional Upheaval. And I want to teach you about the profound effects of writing beyond, like it's way beyond what we may understand. And it's right in this Letting Go series, but it also connects deeply with the Loving Kindness series. So I'm going to, one more time, I'm going to postpone that letting go of the curriculum that I thought it works for teaching as well. Letting go of that until next time. Who will put that as a question for next time? So we'll make sure to, we will be able to get that in the Loving Kindness, the first call. So who would like to post that for me? Post it in the question on the Story Freedom Academy so that I can teach you about that. It's a really, really essential tool, and I want to teach you some pieces of it so that you can actually use it. Who will post that reminder for me? A moment to let go, letting go of, wow, I don't have time to do that. Well, somebody else will do it. Well, who's going to be the first? Because it's like how you do anything is how you do everything. I'm going to do things first. Thank you, Jasmine. Lovely. All right. Anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward into questions. Any ahas, anything just bubbling up inside you? Grace, is that a hand up? Yeah, Grace.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm in the shadows. I have a window behind and a window ahead.
Yeah.
For me, this sense of paradox is one, but there's also what you just said about sense of blending. I keep thinking of women's retreat that I belong to, and we have one for men. It's all about sharing one's story and where their spiritual journey is in giving that story away to help other women. And even for the men, doing a workshop for them, which is about their relationships, right? For the men, it's about relationships. There's a lot that are struggling in relationships, but how do you develop trust in relationships and do writing? And it all involves getting back to who you are, but it's part of my uniqueness, and yet that ability to bring in other aspects of who I am and what I'm capable of in support of them. And then for the women, it's going to be completely different. But maybe doing two of those ministry workshops, I just think it's blending those gifts. So it's the uniqueness, but there's also that paradox in there of my own journey of helping others find the essence, yet struggling to find my own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot there. There's a whole lot in 5 minutes you talked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so absolutely. You've given us a number of threads, and I can hear that you're working through this, right? It's like, wow, there's things to apply here. And I know it's about this retreat over here and that retreat over here. Writing, journaling in and around that will help clarify that. And then, Grace, can I push you just a little here?
Mm-hmm.
So then all those things that you said, because this is about power of words. There's a piece around power of words. Of all those things that you said, I want you to give us one sentence, only one, not more. What's the most important thing that you want to express from what you just said? One thing that matters most to you, only one. One sentence.
We are unique, and yet we're not so unique, because we have the capacity to, you know, blend in with the world.
What Grace said at first is beautiful, because she's working through it. You can hear it, and it's going to bear fruit in her company. Who heard what she said in the second version more than what she heard in the first version? Raise your hand. Yeah, a number of you. Okay. Beautiful. They're both beautiful, Grace. And then that clarity that you found, it's really beautiful. It's like, okay, here it is. And I have to say one thing. And then here it is. That was beautiful. Don't throw out the other. It was beautiful too. The journaling will come from that, and all kinds of things will bubble out that will matter for you and your company. And then also, this is why, one of the reasons we do Shavasana, I wanted to point that out. Focusing the mind to train attention in one direction so we can step forward. And it's a translation from Grace's words from number one to number two. If you understood what I was saying just now, raise your hand. That was like a leg up yoga move one. Most of you heard that. Okay. Anyone totally confused by what I just said? Anyone really, really missed it? If you did, lean in, because lots of people. Okay, so Anne, thank you for your honesty. Lean in with someone in the community and ask them about that piece, because it's actually one of the most important things for you all year long, actually, I would say. So who will help Anne with what was just said? Who will help Anne with that? And thank you for stepping forward, Anne. Grace, beautiful. Thank you. Okay, lovely. All right, questions. And I grouped the questions. So we had two that were reminders for me that I asked you to do, and then eight other questions. Judy is not here live. I'm gonna address hers first, because she was asking about empowering questions, and that's a good place to begin as we're talking about questions. This is the series of seven other questions. So her question was, please do a deep dive on the anatomy of an empowering question. What are the mistakes you've heard me make? What are essentials? What are the three examples of empowering questions? So I think the essential part there is she's asking, what's, just as I asked Grace to do, like boil it down, what is the most important thing? How do I ask an empowering question? Because I know it's important, Michelle. The very first thing about an empowering question is go ahead and ask one. Right? Because if we don't ask a question, we can't get it over to a more and more empowering question. And that has all of those pieces around letting go in it, not being, you know, afraid to fail and not being, you know, failing fast and not needing to get it right and letting go of old ideas, right? Oh, well, I can't ask the question because, right? All that's in there. So ask, please ask. Carve out some time after every single call to post your questions. I would do that. And one of the things I've been toying with is to leave you time to get into triads or, you know, groups of two or three at the end of each call. And I could just leave the lines open for a little while. I've been thinking about that for a while. If you would like that, then ask me a question and say, you know, put it in the form of a question. Hey, Michelle, do you think we could do that? What would be the benefits of it? Can we discuss this on the call? That will move that forward, right? And so post a question after every single call. If we decide to do that, be on a triad after every single call. If we don't decide to do that, do it yourself. You can call people up. It's in your hands, right? So first thing, ask a question. The second thing about an empowering question, start where you are, and then do I actually want the answer to that question? Ask yourself, do I want the answer to the question? So let me see. Let me ask a question. Why is it never going right for me? Michelle, will you please help me? Some people come to me that way. This is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and that's going wrong, and that's going wrong. Right? So why is it always going wrong? Ask yourself the simple question, do I actually want the answer to that question? Why is it always going wrong for me? All the answers to that question are going to be, because I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not doing it, I'm not fast enough, and it's going to make me feel worse and worse. And my heart is actually hurting when I'm saying that. I don't want the answer to that question. So I want to massage the question instead of answering it that way. So questions are iterative. Why is it always going wrong for me? I asked a question, good for me. I celebrate that. Well, it's not always going wrong for me. I remember to ask a question. Great. Okay. So what is it that I really want in that? Right. And a really powerful question that I learned from Michael Beckwith from The Secret. He said, ask what is the nature of, because it gets us to a different mind state. Why is it that I'm always failing? I want to answer that question. What's the nature of failure? Oh, that gets me to something more open-ended and way more powerful. What's the nature of failure? Well, it means that I tried. It means that it didn't go the way I wanted it to. Oh, because that means the problem was probably attached to it going a particular way. It means that I'm in the court, I'm in the game, and some people aren't as much in the game. So it means I tried. Dana and I have been watching this show. Sometimes she's self-conscious about the show she's watching, so I don't know if I can tell you what show it is, but it's one that tests skill, we'll put it this way. And there were some people that were clearly in the arena and some people just weren't. And the one who won in the end was the one in the arena. Again, I don't really believe in a competitive world, but these are the analogies that are coming up in me. I know you'll hear them. So what's the nature of failure? Well, I've been in the court and I've you know, how is it that I could succeed maybe one time more? So I've started massaging that question. How could I succeed maybe one time more? It has the same essential nature as the first question, but it's entirely different as well. How can I succeed maybe one time more? Well, maybe I can just try more. Maybe I can fail faster. Maybe I can get some more support. Maybe I can, now my mind is starting to focus on things that are going to support me. So once I've asked the question, first ask a question, then ask if it's an empowering question, start to massage a question. You don't even have to massage a question. I will help you massage it, or other people in this community will. You don't have to do it alone. So, and then I ask the best question. I don't keep massaging the question until, you know, I'm blue in the face. I just get to a good enough question. And then one of the things that you should have in mind in asking an empowering question, what's my goal? I'm going really fast today. Lots I want to cover. Who's still with me? Still with me? I'll raise your hand. Okay, good. Most of you, yeah, you're nodding. Okay, good. So what's my goal? What is it that I'm trying to achieve? And if I don't know that, it might be because I haven't done the work around the three-year goal. Remember that? And I start doing that with people right at the strategy sessions. But we don't go do the deep dive work, but all of you have done some form of that with me at some point or with each other. So I need to know where it is that I want to go. And just like I want to ask, like, do I really want that answer to that question? Do I really want that future that I'm envisioning? And often the answer is no. Judy's answer, when we did a deep dive in a private session, she thought she knew where she was going in 3 years. And when she actually imagined living in it, she hated it. Her body will stop her from getting there. she'll start to get sick before she'll do it. She'll run herself ragged and then make sure she's doing the busy work so that she can't get there because she doesn't actually want to get there. Accidental self-sabotage, right? So what's my three-year goal? And then what's my goal in that? What is it that I actually want to do? And I've been working on that in this company. I thought it was lead generation for a while. So we were doing things in the company to generate more leads. We're still doing that. But I can't get also to all the leads. We have like at least three times as many leads than I can get to. I can't get to everybody who's wanting to talk to me, not remotely. I'm in the midst of 20 conversations that I've dropped. We need a salesperson in this company. That's scary to me. I love doing strategy sessions. I want to do them. The same thing that got you to this place is not what will get you to the next level. So what's even your goal? If the goal is helping more people, I have to let go of how I've done it before. I did that with the last time we did Story Freedom. I didn't have a team. Then I had a team. Marie, you were on that team. Yvonne, you were on that team. You know, it scared me. I didn't want to have a team at an event because that meant I was a little further away from the participants. But if I really want the thing that I say I want, that's the next step. And now I love having a team. So what's your big goal? Then what's your goal? And then what's in your way? In that case, my last time, 2 years ago that I did Story Freedom, having a team, it seems infinitely far ago. I'm not that person anymore, long ago, but having a team, what was in my way was thinking that it would pull me away from the participants, thinking that I had to be somebody. It was ego and raga, that in order to run that team, thinking that all kinds of things, it was my own mind, my own old stories that were in the way. So if my goal is to have a team, last time around, the goal was to have a team at Story Freedom so that the company can grow, because I can't, as the events have been growing, I can't run it all myself. Gotta let go. Then what's in the way? It might be something internal to me. It might be something external. And then ask a question in or around that so you can get to your next step. So that's a deep dive into questions, but then all the other questions are about, you know, I mean, we're always trying to ask more questions. So, and the ones that will serve us. So that's the best answer to Judy's that I can give her, especially when she's not here. One thing that you learned about that segment on questions, I think that's the best that I've ever done to yes, Cindy, and you've been around the block. That is the best I've ever described empowering questions. I'm on fire these days. Like so much has been happening so quickly. So one thing that you learned about questions from that, if you only took one thing from that piece, from this call, you can completely change your business. What'd you learn? Or just learned at a deeper level. Marie, go ahead. And then and really quickly, just one sentence or two.
The piece that really stood out for me was the piece about envisioning my future. Like, what's my goal and how is that connected to the future I envision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge. And it's a necessary component, too, of having a successful strategy sessions, sales call, whatever you want to call it, having somebody step into you, our work. Because if I don't actually really know where I want to go and I'm not aiming myself there, why would I be able to guide anybody else to do that as well? Right? I have to be able to do it for myself with the best clarity that I can. Otherwise, I can't guide another to step into their future through the work that we do. Thank you. Yes. Anne, you're up.
About the questions itself, like rephrasing the question or taking parts from the question and switching it around. Yeah.
Yes, changes everything. The content could seem similar, but it's like the difference between, it's like a mock-up of one versus, or it's like that difference between somebody going, "Hi, I'm listening. What did you just say?" And you know that nothing is real there. Versus the person actually doing it from the inside, and then they look the same on the outside, but it's totally different. It's the same thing about those two questions, asking, why is it always going wrong? And how can I maybe bring in even one more success? They sound like the same content, completely different businesses, completely different lives. Thank you. Yes. All right. Next questions. Jasmine and Cheryl's questions next. So Jasmine was asking, what great question. What set of recordings do I begin listening to as I investigate the Story Freedom members area? My answer to you is do exactly what you're doing. One, focus on one thing. You're working your way through the high ticket virtual retreat. You got to be able to make offers. Otherwise we won't have a company. and do it the easy way first. And the High Ticket Virtual Retreat is a deep dive into doing that. And I recommend that you guys revisit that at least 2 or 3 times a year. And do it all the time, but revisit the training itself. Jasmine's in the middle of it. It's a great time to jump in on that. I would be reaching out to Jasmine going like, I want to do it again. Go ahead. All right. That's what I would do. Go ahead, Jasmine.
If you guys go over to the Facebook community, Michelle actually had suggested this. I posted just some of my reactions and like, I would love to hear what you guys remember or like if it sparks anything. So
I would be on that in a heartbeat. You know, I'd be on that in a heartbeat. And I was talking to a friend of mine who has a wonderful company, but we have what's called rolling entry. People can enter anytime. She doesn't have that. She has set times that people can enter in. And I was telling her how much I love rolling entry. I was making a passion impassioned case for it because we have listened to Jasmine's new energy, right? It's like, oh, right. I already did the High Ticket Virtual Retreat a couple times, so I forgot. Right? So it's so beautiful. And then somebody who's been around a long time, like you can connect. It's like, oh, well, I don't understand what this piece means, or I don't know how to apply this. Oh, well, when she taught it last year, there was this one nuance that I remember when I tried this thing out, right? Fantastic. Thank you. So I would do that and be like crazy single focused and do that and then go and make, and then the other pieces, because, and this is directly for you, Jasmine, but it's for this piece in me and all of us. I'm trained as an academic. When I wanted to learn how to run, I went to several courses. I bought the, you know, find out which shoes were the best to buy. This is right for you, Jasmine. Right? I went to several courses. What else did I do? I joined a group too, but anyway. Also freaking do it. And High Ticket Virtual Retreat is based on action. So I would do that and then go, which piece to listen to? I would go and make your first 20 do your first 20 strategy sessions in the next 2 weeks. Give that as your challenge. Then go listen to some more of the recordings, which will support you in that. And go and fail quickly, right? And also succeed, wonderful, but aim for like, how many people can I talk to? Learn something from every single one. That's my deep dive answer. It's answering beyond the question that you asked in a sense, right? Because I'm answering also do the other piece of it. And I'm putting that beside Cheryl's question because Cheryl said, and I wanted to say this to you really quickly so you could hear it. Where is it? Cheryl said, I seem to be in my own way when it comes to having my one-on-one paying client. I know what I need to do. I need to take action. Take the first baby step. I think I just answered my own question. Ha, ha, ha. XO, right? Same thing as what happened to Mary Kay, another illustration of it. I just answered my own question. Now I got to just freaking do it. So thank you, Cheryl. That was beautiful. Ask the questions because then you will take yourself further. So what's the one piece that you want to do? And then I would be hooking up, Cheryl, I'd be hooking up with Jasmine if I were you because it's everything in the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. Okay, so that's why I put those two questions together. I'm not stopping for ahas. We're going to gather all the ahas at the end, and I want to make sure I address all the questions. If I did not get to your question, and I thought of your questions as I thought of the whole structure of this call, if I didn't get to your question, post another question. Make sure you ask me, just ask the next iteration. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Don't be attached to answering, having it answered exactly right here, right now. It's going to cause suffering, right? But I'll do my best with it. Number three and four, question three and four were Anne and Sergio. So Anne's was, where do I find my ideal client who's financially able to say yes? Sergio was asking, what should my offer be? These are related questions. I'm going to answer them both together. And this one, Anne, let me see. You okay for a deep dive? You up for a deep dive? How's your energy? Yeah? Okay. Because this applies to all of us. Where do I find my ideal client who is financially able to say yes? Remember when I said old and fixed ideas, but sometimes we don't even know we have them. Yvonne had that with unrolling her mat, maybe, or you know what I'm saying? I had that about, I'm going to be further away from people when I'm doing story freedom. I have that. We all have that. Where, and it's connected to the empowering question story too. Where do I find my ideal client who's financially able to say yes? Let me give you just an example. You've been in the room, for instance, when Sandra Yancey is talking. She has a company that makes, you know, millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars and more. You've been multiple times. Yeah, and I'm just going to mute your line because it's causing a feedback. But if you have something to say, that's fine. We're going to do a real quick dive here, though. A real quick deep dive, but quick. So you and all of us, how many of you know that you have been in a room at some point with somebody who's financially able to pay for your services? You've already been in that room at some point. Didn't you go to the theater once? You went to maybe an opera. Maybe you were at a folk festival. Maybe you went to, right? So ask empowering questions and letting go of fixed ideas. This is a direct application of what I was just teaching, which is why we're able to hear it now. Where do I find my ideal client who is financially able to say yes? I would work on the question, because that's not where I would even be looking. It's been happening over and over again, what we're looking for. And that's why we're coming up to, I'm so excited, we're coming up to practical applications. Get results with your words. We're coming up to practical application season. It's not about finding the person. If we're right beside that person and we don't have the words to say it, it makes no difference. It's all about, and that's why I paired it together with Sergio. It's all about really, truly understanding what we offer. And a big chunk of that is over there in the high ticket virtual retreat. It's simpler than we think. But I need to know it inside, outside, backwards, forwards, upside down, the deep value of what it is that I have to offer. And then they come up and walk up to me, walk up to all of us and ask for it. It's like a red herring to be looking for. How many of you, when you were sitting in the strategy session, if that's how you came in, for instance, were sitting there thinking, I'm looking to make a, how many figures is that? 5-figure investment. And by the way, I just had this money sitting around in my back pocket. I'm wondering if you're the person I should invest it with. How many of you were that person? You know, right? It's pretty well, almost never happens. But here you all are. So I would ask a different question. How is it that I can so master words and so master stories, and it's a practice? And how can I be willing to take risks as well and then practice it and be talking to people and making the offers so I hone my craft of words and asking questions every single time and leaning in with this community so that I know the offer and I know deeply the value of it. And then I just go to some places where those people are. That's the minor part of the question. And that they are financially able. Most of you weren't thinking about this at all. Did you feel financially able, right? I've invested in things where it was a crazy, absolute wrong time, where I go like, my visa's not going to work and I have nothing in the bank. And I'm like, I'm risking everything. And I, when I talked to one, the amazing person, I've told you about him before, got a chance to talk to him. He'd like, made $1 million in 43 minutes, I think was his record. And I said, what kind of mind does it take? Like, what is it in you that allowed you to do that? And what he said actually was fear at that point. It was fear because I had everything on the line. He said like fear, but I could tell he's fearless. You get what I'm saying? It had to work. So, the words to say it and knowing the value. You do that when you know the value of what you're sitting on, and you got to know it more than all of us know it here, myself included. That's where it comes from, right? Then you just go and chat with them where they are. That's minor. And is that making sense? Does that shift the question around? All right. What should my offer be? Sergio. So Sergio's not here live, and still have a few more questions that I want to address. We've addressed most of them. There's a couple more still. What should my offer be? Go back to the high ticket virtual retreat. And it's in the part about me, my time, and my stuff that Jasmine will be getting back to. And I'd be connecting with Jasmine. I'd be connecting with Cheryl, who I hope is connecting with Jasmine. And all of you, this is a great time to be going back to that high ticket virtual retreat. It will set you up really well for questions and practical applications, for instance, that we're coming up to soon. So what should my offer be? What do I have lying around that I know I'm really, really good at? What is it that I want to offer? What is my gift in this world? And it's probably right in front of me. I've given different trainings on that, but it's, who do I work with that I've loved working with, that has loved working with me and that pays me the most money? If they haven't paid you yet, it's that thing that you're doing over and over for people for free all the time. You know, and what's the value? And then go talk to them. What are the words that they're giving you about what they say is valuable? And then you go and do those 50 strategy sessions and they all say no. Okay, well, what then? Talk to them, because you're hearing what their pain is, but haven't quite got there yet. And 50 people say it to you in a certain way that's related. And then you start to hear what the words are. And it's like, that's the best shortcut there, is to actually do it and be listening to people and to know what it is you're offering. So that's my best advice on that. And Sergio, if you're listening to this afterwards, ask me a follow-up question now in the next call. But those are that's the best place to look. All right, two more questions. And this was, I left you to the end, Grace and Carly. But Grace and Carly said, Grace said, how can I best get back in touch with me? And Carly said, how do I get my motivation back on track for my annual revenue goal? After being on track, then things completely falling through. I created the whole call with these questions in mind. So I left them to the end, but these are questions in and around the why series, especially I would say, and understanding big self. And big self, the kleshas, avijja, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesa, like attachment, hanging on, aversion, happens when I don't remember who I am. And so Carly, can you hear in this question, how do I get my motivation back after being on track, then things completely falling through? I wanted it to be this way and I'm hanging on to the way that I thought it was going to be. Well, it's not that way. Oh, well, I got to fail quickly. I got to, and this is not failure. I don't even like the word really, but okay, now what? Now what do I want to do? And again, if that's not enough, because it's like sometimes there's desperation or sometimes it's like feels so dark and I don't know what mood Grace and Carly you're in, but all of the call is designed also to uplift and to remind you who you are. Sometimes it can backfire because it's like, Michelle, none of this, I can't hear any of this. Then remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and re-ask the question and ask me to put it at the top of the list, and I will, because I had yours at the end because I didn't want to go to the dark side first. I wanted to gather the energy, because from the Inspired Action Blueprint, when we gather the energy, we end up with different questions. But if it hasn't been enough, remember that each of you promised, I hope you did, I hope I spoke that to you, that you would lean in if things got hard. Jasmine, we just did deep dive, right? You remember it. Like, will you lean in, right? So lean in. It's a marathon, not a sprint. If it wasn't enough, be on a connection call right away with somebody else in the community. Repost the question. And when we do those things that I was talking about with Judy's empowering questions, you can start asking empowering questions. You know, how am I going to get my motivation on track after things completely falling through? I don't know, it's going to be really hard, because I feel like, can you hear the energy of that? Instead, if I start massaging that question, I can go, things didn't work out the way I wanted. I'm softening the things completely falling through. That's your house metaphor, Carly. So the piece is like, it's all falling apart. Jasmine, if some of you might not have heard the house metaphor if you're here more recently. But I feel like things are all falling apart. So I'm just going to soften that. Not everything worked the way I wanted it to. Does that still feel real, Carly? But it's, can you hear? I've already changed the energy, changed the story. All right. Not everything worked the way I wanted it to. And I generalized it too. That's a lesson from Abraham Hicks. Generalize it. Not everything, when it's something I don't want. Not everything worked the way I wanted it to. But I know I learned some things and I'm looking for my next step from here. I'm saying the same content, but totally revised. So what's my goal now that I really actually want? Maybe I don't want that goal anymore because it doesn't resonate in my body and it makes me feel sick. Maybe I'm actually going to, with love, revise those goals. And the with love part, that's why the Love and Kindness series follows on the Letting Go series. I've let go of all the stuff. What am I going to put back in? If I don't put something there, all that old stuff's going to come rushing back. With love, what do I actually want? No, I really do believe that I can do this. And then it gets revitalized. Or I want to adjust that, because that's what now, motivation is like being pushed. Inspiration is from the insides. I prefer the word inspiration. What will inspire me to take that next step to where I really actually want to go? So I'd go back to, what do I actually want to do? And then the deep, deep self-care, right? So Grace, how can I best get back in touch with me? That sounds like the same kind of question. How can I best get back in touch with me? Assumes that I've lost touch with me. So they're both questions are coming from the dark side. It sounds like to me. I didn't do it. I didn't ask you because the intention might have been different. Then just let me know and we'll talk about next time. How can I best get him back in touch with me? That's a pretty empowering question. I could do it by doing this and this and that, but there still is an assumption beside it that I've lost inside of it. I've lost me. What if I change the assumption behind it? What if I even massage that question a little bit? It's pretty empowering, but I could make it a little more empowering. I've not been feeling completely myself lately. Do you see how I've not made it always and big? I sort of made it, I've not always been feeling myself lately. But I know that I've often found ways back to my center. So I'm going to rewrite my history in ways that still feel true, but that focus on what I love in the way that I was training at the beginning of this call, right? So I haven't always felt in touch, you know, with all of who I am lately, but I know that I've often found my center when I've lost it before. So I know that I can do that again because I've done it before. I also know that I'm in a new place with new resources that I haven't had before. And so how can I remember that I never can lose touch with me, that I'm, and that might be too much for Grace. No, I feel out of touch with me. How can I find myself? So do you see how I'm working with the words? I mean, I've been working with words for 25 years and I'm still massaging and playing with the words. So I would do that. And it's one of the reasons that the journaling is so very powerful. More than you know, it actually changes our physical bodies. I'll talk about that next time. And changes our expectations, changes our concrete results when we do writing in a particular way. I'll talk about that next call. So how can I best get back in touch with me? How can I remember that I have so many resources? And there's different answers depending on how we're feeling in the moment. Grace has at least, Carly and Grace has at least something that I've said helped. Yes? And if there's, okay, good. So I landed on something. I can see Carly for sure. Grace, something, yes? Yes, okay, good. And then just ask the follow-up question, keep asking questions. All right, these were phenomenal questions. How many of you learned something for you in the answers, that my responses, and again, get in touch with these. Yeah, okay, how many learned something, raise hands, from those questions? Those are brilliant and beautiful questions, and they also work synergistically together. Can you hear that? Everybody adds a piece of the puzzle. That's why I love hearing all the questions. They're beautiful. Did I miss? Oh, goodness, Mary Kay, what happened to your question? I missed your question. That's because I snuck yours in right after Jasmine and Cheryl's, and yours was in the middle, and so forgive me for that. Hang on. So I have a good question, good answer, I hope, for you too. What should I work on first, my new free offer or adding goodness to the course and serving the people in it? I'm going to give you Sandra's answer first. So my mentor, Sandra Yancey, she's one of my mentors. She will say, put down all the most important things in one column, you've heard me say this before, and all the things that are distractions in the other column, basically, right? And or like all the things that you do, and then divide them up into columns. And all the things that are most important, and this is going to sound to some of you because you're such heart-centered people, but this is why this training is so important for you. What makes the cash register ring? If it's a company, that's the priority. That's it. Everything else, according to Sandra, is a distraction. And this woman has raised millions and millions of dollars for amazing causes. She's done so much good in the planet. She helps people. She's heart-centered. But that's her answer. It's like, what makes the cash register ring? If I were in a group of really selfish people who were out to, you know, I might be saying different things. But you guys are also heart-centered. You're all out to make a difference and change the planet. So then there's the piece around self-care and taking care of your company so that you can grow it enough so that you can help people. And here's an analogy from one of my teachers that's amazing, Andrea J. Lee. She said, you know, there's this oasis of a company that's thriving and beautiful. And, you know, it's beautiful over there. And meanwhile, you're going up the hill to get over the hill to the oasis. And you got your two bear cubs along with you. You got to feed the cubs along the way. You don't get to that oasis. This Jasmine, your example is really good. Like, I want to give a whole bunch of things away. But in order to do that, man, I got to feed the cubs along the way and I got to grow my company. And that's great inspiration for you to get there. So what makes the cash register ring? I'm not saying don't look after your people, but here's the thing. I think that that's so in you, you can't help yourself. All of you. You are so in service. You're not going to not help your people. So letting go of old fixed ideas. If I focus that much on the money, I'm a bad person. If I focus on letting go of old fixed ideas, what makes the cash register ring? And sometimes part of that is going to be really taking care of your people well. I get it. But have your eye there first, Mary Kay, then ask me the follow-up question. Does that make sense? Yeah, you got it. Okay, good. Now, did I miss any of the questions? Oh my goodness, almost missed Mary Kay's. Did I miss any? Did we get to everybody's? Hers was in that middle line. Like I said, snuck it in there because I thought it fit in at a different point. All right. Freaking awesome call. You guys designed this call. Amazing work. I've run this as a mentorship more than a mastermind because you can always be in touch with each other and take it further. Right? So it's not because I don't think there are amazing ideas and contributions in this community. You guys are freaking awesome. But the questions also control the content. You guys ask the questions this week. Amazing. And be in touch with each other, your buddies, connection call with somebody who's not your buddy, small group, posting in the Facebook forum. Keep leaning in. Only one small part of what you'll learn is going to come from me, but we've given lots of other avenues for all those other pieces. All right? So one aha, one inspired action. And I would love some more ahas being posted in the Facebook forum because we're going to do this pretty quick because, again, this call always carve out 2 hours, just carve out 2 hours all the time. But I would love to hear the ahas rolling because we did a lot of content in this call and energetics as well. So who would like to post a hear some more ahas in the Facebook forum? Yeah, thank you, Carly. Okay. And then go and post them. Like, what you focus on expands, right? So what we focus on expands. Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, while we were here, I wrote these and printed them.
Oh my God.
So I love the, instead of thinking what is wrong here, think about what is strong here. Mm-hmm. And then the, I know backwards and forwards and upside down, the deep value of what I offer.
Thank you. And so usually I start up in this corner, but since we're already with Carly, one aha, one inspired action. And let's do like, let it land, because I want to make sure that I really honor people's time. And many of you are here on a holiday. Thank you. Yeah. If you're from the U.S., happy Memorial Day.
Well, yes. Well, these were big ahas for me, I think.
Yeah.
And my inspired action is I'm going to start having my environment really this more in my face. That's why I printed this. I'm going to hang it up and just remind myself more.
A beautiful use of what we were just talking about and ties together so much in the whole of the Letting Go series and the training from today. Beautiful, Carly. Thank you. And then notice the letting go happens if you had a moment going, oh, well, I come up with something that beautiful. That's raga attachment happening in the spot, right? Doesn't matter what she said. What do you want to say? Right? Because it's beautiful. Yes. Yvonne, go. You're up.
Needing to take risks.
Yes, thank you. Perfect for you, my friend, for everyone mm-hmm. here, but yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So glad you heard that. Mm-hmm. This is not theoretical. Inspired action.
I'm going to post on Facebook the wins.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Perfect. Mary Kay, you're up next.
Well, something about letting go of the uniqueness. It's like I could breathe and there was some kind of release and lots more energy, I think, because that's something that's been drilled into me, uniqueness in the past 2 years. And now like letting go of it. Yes.
I love that.
There's much more space.
That is a really smart business idea. Itself can be something that we hang on to. And then it causes suffering, as we just saw Mary Kay. And when she's breathing better, who's going to be the one that the next person will leap into? Version A or version B of Mary Kay, right? Thank you for it. Beautiful, Mary Kay. Yes. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to clean up my desk because my environment is very, very cluttered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
That's important.
I've got to do cooking, but tomorrow, by tomorrow evening, I will do this.
Love it. Checkoffable, clear, and highly strategic, and letting go, we let go of that. Then how we do anything is how we do everything. Where else does that happen in your company, in your life? Love it. Grace, you're up.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I can digest or even say one thing.
And do so anyway, because that's a practice. And I love that thing that's abundant. There's so much here.
There's so much. There's so much. What makes the cash register ring? Thinking about all the things I'm not doing. And so I'm going to meet your challenge, you know, within the next week. And my calendar next week is absolutely packed, but I'm going to squeeze in 20 calls to people.
Fantastic. And could you share them calls
when I reach out to 20 people?
Also, the letting go piece, if you're going to squeeze them in, what are you going to let go of in your week that you think you can't get let go of because you think you need to do all those things? So that's my other little piece, because I can't not in the middle of the letting go series. And I love the energy behind it too. What's your inspired? Oh, you already got your inspired action. Fantastic. Yes, yes. Thank you. Marie, you're up.
How can I fail faster?
Thank you. Yes.
I'm going to keep doing these pop-up haiku things.
Yes, sometimes the thing to do is exactly what I have been doing.
It's such an opportunity to fail faster.
Yes, perfect. And this is also a pretty new activity for Marie, so this is perfect. Yes, thank you. Love it. Cindy, you're up.
When you were talking about the goals and what is my goal now, it just suddenly really drilled down for me that I want to teach. That is my goal. I want to teach.
Clear. Beautiful. And,
then what am I going to do about it is the part that you said with the two columns, what's important and what's distracting me.
Yes.
Do that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Love it. And then lots of letting go in that, right? This is where I need to focus. And then the Shavasana teaches us to focus. All these things, they work synergistically together. Yes, thank you. And you're up.
Okay, yeah, same thing. There was lots there today. I think rephrasing questions.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yes.
Going deeper with the questions. Yeah.
Love it. And your inspired action?
The same as Mary Kay. Clean up some of the paper. Because that was one of the things that hit. Every piece of paper is costing me $10,000. Well, I thought I was in debt, but wow.
When I heard that, it changed my relationship to paper and the stuff in my environment. My place looks completely different than it used to a couple of years ago. And that has gone alongside of stupendous growth in the company. It's not an accident. Erin, you're up.
My aha is letting go of my uniqueness. Mm-hmm. And I'll just spend a bit of time reviewing the content on my magnet boards. It's been a while, so I'll take a look. See what's there. See
beautiful.
What no longer serves me there.
Love it. Thank you. Jasmine.
So much. I'm definitely going to be rewatching this, but what stuck with me throughout the entire call the most, I have ADD and there is actually a medicine shortage right now. So that thought of 2 hours, like just listening was, but the Shavasana at the beginning was so helpful. And I like kept coming back to that. Like if I felt my attention drifting, and I would say I was like with you 95% of the call. And that is huge for me.
Awesome. Freaking awesome. Yes. And then your inspired action.
I'm going to be using your recordings to help me do this every day. Like it just works so well to like actually help that along.
Fantastic. Yes. Love it. Good. Donna, you're up.
Good morning. I try not to pop in and out of video, so that's kind of why I sat silent in the cartoon part. It doesn't matter if I'm standing next to my client if I don't know what I'm going to say. It's probably my biggest aha today. tripping over words, etc., is kind of a brutal event, painful at best.
Uh-huh. And we're coming up to practical applications. Get results with your words. You see how all this fits together. Exactly, you heard. Thank you. And then your inspired action.
Well, I have to kind of go through all these notes that I was taking today because I put my back out a bit, and so I am really uncomfortable and in some pain, so I wasn't highly focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then I'll go back.
There's my, and I'll post to Facebook.
Yeah, so I'll go back so I can find what I want to focus on, what the most important things are. Good. Yes. Thanks. Cheryl, you're up.
I have cleaned my space, and I have to tell you guys, it feels good. So do it. There's some tears there too, but it's a process, but it was great. Mm-hmm. My aha is that it's okay to work on what makes the cash register ring.
Thank you.
And my inspired action is to do those things that do that.
Yes. How simple is that, right? It's how simple is that when we hear it. Carly, are you still in a place where you can speak? Oh, Carly, you already spoke. What am I talking about? Michelle, I see you here. Are you able to speak?
Hi. So I think my aha right now is semi-unrelated, but I was finding it really difficult to focus today, and part of that is just because I'm very fatigued. Mm-hmm. Because there's just everything so full again.
Yeah, which is why we have this series too, right? You're illustrating like why the Letting Go series is in here.
I know, and I was sad because I was so excited about this series that I had to miss the first three because I was teaching.
Oh, so you were hanging on. You were sad because you were hanging on because you really wanted to be there. Oh, Raga, illustrating what we're talking about. Yes, thank you for showing over and over again why this is so important. Good, really good.
Yeah. My inspired action, I think, has to be. My inspired action is to watch those first three videos and just make the space for that and start there.
Love it. Can you hear the spaciousness in her words and her energy and how it shifted even as she was saying it? Could you feel that yourself, Michelle?
Not yet.
Not yet, but could you guys see it? It was, yes, Mary Kay really saw it hugely. Others saw it as well. The words themselves and the intentionality creating the space so that you can take it further as the material of the Letting Go series will allow you to do. Freaking awesome, everybody. Fantastic work. Please, before you do anything else, make a space for yourself. Now you know how easy it is. Take 5 minutes to go post your next question. Let me, help me to help you. Please post your next question. Second action, please also, who is it that you know who you want to come to the call next Wednesday? Make sure you take the action as well of registering yourself for that call. We won't be here. We will be on a different link, Zoom link, right? And I think those are some of the key actions before next time. So ask the questions. Who do you know who? And oh, right. Let Amy know if you're not already affiliate. It's kind of now or never. We have it. We're launching right now, and we've never ever done this before. I don't know if we can do it again. Do it, and it's okay to make the cash register ring in this case too. You can do it because you want to bring somebody else along, because you want them to understand the journey you've been on, always, because you want to model it for your own company. Do it for that, but it's okay to also do that to make the cash register ring. We do all the work and we give you a big chunk of the money. And so that's part of where my marketing investment goes. It goes into you guys because I just adore you. You are my ideal clients. Thank you for everything. Remember about the testimonials as well. Get in touch with Amy if you want to, if you're not already on the list. Get in touch with me if you want some guidance in around that. Text me if you've emailed me. I probably won't see your email. You can also get help and support in the Facebook forum. This is a good time to be doing those actions. Have a fantastic, fantastic week, everybody. I will hopefully see you next Wednesday and Thursday. Some of you will be seeing you in privates this week and so on as well. So have a great, great week, everybody, and a wonderful Memorial Day. Love you all. See you soon. Bye-bye for now.